Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents His Fierce Mate by Julie Treadle. Narrated by Joe Hempel and Carly Robbins. Alston, Chapter 1.
Don't you let this one fool you. He's all charm and no commitment, Millie teased as she wearily eyed the gaggle of women surrounding me at the bar.
Collier Steakhouse and Tavern was the hub of nightlife around here. It also is where you could find me most nights if I wasn't working.
So, what do you do?
The busty brunette asked.
I shrugged one shoulder and grinned. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. I could tell by her reaction that she thought I was being coy, but it was the truth. Still, it was a great line that always worked with those passing through. Kept the intrigue up and all that shit. I knew how to play the game. In this case, these ladies were here for some sort of conference that Lily was hosting. Women from 7 packs were visiting. I had to remember to thank her for hosting this thing, whatever it was she was doing. I didn't even care. But boy, was I grateful for it. I couldn't stop smiling just thinking about it. And I grew hard, wondering how many of them I'd be screwing this week. All I had to do was pick my favorite to start with. It was going to be a great week.
So, you're from Collier, right? The blonde with the flirtatious eyes asked.
I am.
So, you're like a cowboy?
She bit her lip and watched me through hooded lashes.
Millie snorted as she set another beer down on the bar for me. I winked at her as I picked it up and took a long swig.
Amongst other things, I assured the blonde.
Are you trying to be mysterious or just annoying by avoiding our questions?
The one with blue hair asked with a scowl. Millie burst out laughing.
You just might be out of your league with that one, Alston.
Millie sniggered under her breath. I side-eyed her. Millie was the biggest gossip in all of Collier Pack, and she loved to put me in my place or knock me down a few pegs with her quick tongue. Sure, I was a flirt, a love-'em-and-leave-'em kind of guy. But I was always up front about it. I never did anything where the stakes weren't clear. No relationships, no commitments or promises beyond a good time. Those were my rules, and I never broke them.
So, do you know Thomas Collier?
The blonde asked.
And there it is. Did I know the alpha of my pack?
Hell yes.
Of course I do. He's my alpha, I told her curtly.
I didn't need to flash my friendship with Thomas around to get laid. The fact that she even asked about him was a complete turnoff. The blue-haired one rolled her eyes.
We realize you know who he is. We aren't idiots. She was just curious about how well you know the Alpha.
I wanted to groan. It was official. My night was over. I chugged the rest of my beer and tossed a 20 down on the bar.
Thanks, Millie. Without even another word to the women, I got up and walked away.
Seriously?
One of them asked.
Oh, honey, he doesn't do rank-seeking whores. You asked the wrong question,
I heard Millie say with a laugh. I grinned. She wasn't wrong. Before I got out of the tavern, though, Lily walked in and came right up to me, answering all their questions with one hug. Lily Weston Collier, pack mother of the Collier Pack, Thomas's wife. I didn't just know Thomas because he was my alpha. We'd been friends since we were in diapers. He was like a brother to me, one of the 6-pack, and I'd be damned if any woman was going to get to use me to get closer to him. That was bullshit. I liked to play games, but that wasn't one I was going to entertain. Ever.
What the hell kind of conference are you running here?
Lily shrugged.
It's a She-Wolf Empowerment Conference. We have women from 7 packs attending. I expected you to be more excited about this, she mused.
Yeah, well, you need better quality she-wolves next time. Not these rank seekers asking if I'm friends with the Alpha.
Someone actually did that?
The woman with her asked.
Yeah, the lot over there by the bar.
Unbelievable, she muttered.
I grinned, knowing damn well not to flirt with this one. Kelsey Weston was a badass bitch and pack mother of Weston Pack, the largest wolf shifter pack in the world. I knew Collier and Weston Packs had always been close, but their ties went far deeper than alliances now. They were family. I wasn't sure how Lily had convinced Kelsey to come here and help her co-host this She-Wolf Empowerment Conference, whatever the hell that was, but it was a big deal, drawing in a lot of people. Watching the two men following them shift uncomfortably, I chanced to look behind me and saw a swarm of women headed my way. Normally, this would be like a wet dream come true. But after the encounter I'd had with the ladies at the bar, I cringed and just wanted to get the hell out of there. They were quite the turnoff. "I'm calling it an early night. Have fun, ladies," I said, but turned back one last time as I made my exit. "Oh, and Kelsey, don't let Lily drink tonight. Nothing good ever comes from it," I added with a chuckle. "You don't need to remind me," Kelsey yelled back before turning to the onslaught of ladies vying for her attention. "I'm not drinking. I'm pregnant, you idiot," Lily yelled after me. I didn't miss the wide-eyed look of surprise on the blue-haired one's face as I backed away from it all. I was just grateful she'd shown her true colors sooner rather than later. Disgusted once more, I turned and walked away. "Good luck, guys," I said to Kelsey's security detail team watching her closely from a few feet away.
"Thanks a lot, Austin," one of them muttered.
"Anytime, Walker. Good to see you again." Walker was part of the elite special ops team run out of Weston Pack. Delta Team, I think. Weston Force was comprised of several units, but if I wasn't mistaken, Delta was the one that worked most closely with their pack, including protection detail for the Alpha's family when traveling out of territory. With Thomas's sisters, Maddie, Shelby, and half the year Lizzie, living in Kyle Weston's territory, there were lots of visitations between our packs. Kyle insisted on always sending an escort with them, claiming they were his family too. I'd gotten to know a few of the regular guys over the years. And when I'd said they were tighter than just pack alliances, that's what I meant. Maddie was mated to Kyle's younger brother Liam, and Liam was Lily's twin brother, Kyle's baby sister. That made Weston and Collier united in blood, not just words or a signed treaty. Kyle and Thomas had become as close as brothers. They didn't always see eye to eye, but they always had the other's back. The alliance was practically unbreakable, giving Collier far more leverage than we'd ever had before. That kind of power spawned the likes of those three women at the bar, rank seekers looking for the prestige of being close to the Collier-Weston alliance. I understood that Thomas and the rest of them were sort of like royalty amongst wolf-shifters, so I guess I shouldn't blame the girls for showing an interest. I simply had no desire to be a pawn in their games, and I wasn't particularly happy at the thought of being used like that. Thomas was too important to me. I'd protect him with my life, and I wasn't in the habit of flaunting our friendship because that would make me a shitty friend. I had never cared about his pack rank as future Alpha, and now Alpha of Collier Pack. If anything, I understood too well the sacrifices and demands that came with that title. Besides, the joke was on them, because not only were they sending up red flags for me to run in the opposite direction by asking about him, but that type of woman was looking for a lifestyle upgrade, a long-term commitment, and I wasn't the settling down type. With my night a bust, I decided to just call it done and head home. Some people would find it weird that a man pushing 30 still lived in his parents' basement, but I had my own two-bedroom apartment and everything I could possibly need. I wasn't the type of person who sat around the house all day anyway. It was literally a place to sleep. I was no more than 10 yards outside the door, and a large group of women were strolling towards me. From the way they were dressed, I knew they were on the prowl. Some of these packs were often small, leaving them with not enough of a male and female balance to sustain the pack, forcing them to look elsewhere. Some of them were pretty bad off. My boy Clay's mate, Winnie, came from such a situation. Her Alpha was getting so desperate to grow his pack that he had ordered her to take her cousin as a mate. Fortunately, Clay found her in time to stop that nonsense, but sadly it wasn't all that uncommon with some of these small, remote packs. And opportunities like this didn't come along all that often for she-wolves. The Grand Council that oversaw wolf-shifter packs was an archaic system. Kelsey and Lily, along with some of their friends and with the full support of their mates, We're working on elevating things to the 21st century. Still, after the encounter I'd just had at the tavern, I decided it was best if I sat this one out and steered clear of the incoming she-wolves. I hated to blame all of them on the actions of just a few, but the sour taste left in my mouth was enough. I couldn't even believe I was thinking it, but it had to be done. For the duration of this she-wolf empowerment conference thing, or whatever Lily had called it, I was swearing off women.
Angel. Chapter 2. "Why do I have to go with them?" I asked my mother. "Because the Alpha invited you, sweetheart. We've talked about this. It's not every day that you'll have such an opportunity. Maybe you'll even find a mate while you're there." "I don't want to find a mate, Mama. I'm fine with things just as they are." "Angelina Francesca Rinaldi, I do not want to hear such a thing. What if your true mate is there just waiting for you?" "True mates are like fairy tales. You and Papa are the only ones I know lucky enough to find yours. Chances are that mine are already settled for a compatible mate, and I'll spend my life on hopes and dreams of finding someone who can't be found." "What's the point?" "Blasphemous! Your true mate is out there somewhere just waiting for you, my sweet, beautiful girl. I'm not..." She cut me off before I could finish my thought. "You are going. That's the end of it." I sighed, thinking back to that conversation just 24 hours earlier. With her insistence, I'd caved and done as she asked. I'd packed light, knowing we were traveling in our fur, only taking the bare necessities, and I followed behind the others, eager to reach Collier territory for the first annual She-Wolf Empowerment Conference, co-hosted by Lily Collier and Kelsey Weston. They were famous amongst my kind, and everyone was excited to meet them. In all, my pack sent 5 unmated females, and it was more than clear that our Alpha would not be disappointed if we took mates within Collier pack and did not return home, as long as we helped him in bridging an alliance with the beloved Colliers. It made me sick. I didn't want to be here, and I didn't want anything to do with any of this. Begrudgingly, here I was anyway. By the time word had reached my Alpha about the conference, we'd had to move quickly. All of the rooms in town had been taken up, but we were approved to sleep out on the range of the Collier territory. 9 packs, including Weston and Collier, were supposed to be in attendance, but as we reached the territory line and searched for a place to sleep, we discovered many other last-minute arrivals setting up camp just like us. After finding what looked like an abandoned campsite with a proper fire pit and everything, we took our chances and set up camp there. Kitty, Shiloh, Dinah, and Nicole dispersed the tasks and set to work. "Are we supposed to check in with the Alpha or anything?" Kitty asked. "I don't want to get in trouble for being here." "They said we could camp anywhere out here for the night and check in tomorrow morning. They are even serving us breakfast and everything," Dinah insisted. "It just feels wrong," Kitty whispered, like we were going to get in trouble just for being here. "This is clearly someone else's site. Are you sure this is okay?" I asked. Shiloh shrugged. She'd sort of made herself the appointed leader since we left home. She was the Alpha's sister, after all, outranking the rest of us. "Nicole, grab some of that firewood from that stack over there and let's get a fire going." "I'll get the wood, but I have no idea how to start a fire." "Me either," Kitty confessed. "Don't look at me," Dinah said, raising her hands as she took a step back in retreat. "Well, I don't know how to do this either. What are we going to do?" I huffed. "Just get me the wood." I squatted down and opened my backpack, pulling out my emergency kit to retrieve some matches. Papa had made sure I was ready for anything on this trip, including learning to start a fire. "I'm going to need several handfuls of some of that tall, dried grass over there." "I'll get it," Dinah offered. A few seconds later, we heard her scream. "What's wrong?" Shiloh asked, running to her side only to start screaming too. While my natural instinct was to leave them all behind and run in the opposite direction of whatever was freaking them out, Kitty and Nicole ran towards them to help. Nicole tripped and cried out as she plopped down right into a big, steaming cow patty, sending an offensive odor right in my direction. "Poop!" she cried. "I'm covered in poop!" "Well, I stepped in it," Dina explained. "Me too," Shiloh admitted. Kitty stood there in shock before holding her side and bending over with laughter. I groaned and rolled my eyes. "Just walk around camp, okay? I can smell it from here. There is a small creek not far from here. You can wash up there." "This is the worst trip ever," Nicole wailed as the three of them scurried off in search of the water. Kitty was still laughing as she took a seat next to me on one of the logs laid out around the fire pit. "I'm glad it wasn't me," she told me in confidence. "Same. I mean, it's an open range for Collier's cattle. Did they really not notice all the stinky bombs we maneuvered around on the way in? They don't just disappear because the sun is starting to go down, right? And you can smell them yards away. I can't believe that just happened. Did we even pack enough stuff to get through this conference?" I smiled. "Guess we'll be washing up in the creek if not. Maybe tomorrow we'll luck out and find a place in town," she said hopefully. I wouldn't count on it. Antonio was pretty adamant that everything was booked, but that we should still come and make the most of it. Kitty sighed. "I think it's cool that he wants us to be a part of something so revolutionary like this." It was no secret that my friend had a huge crush on our Alpha. Aside from Shiloh and me, pretty much every female he encountered seemed to instantly fall in love with him. He was my friend. And sure, he was great and handsome, but I couldn't see us ever being more than just friends. Bernardi Pack was very small and remote in the hills of Colorado. We didn't have miles and miles of land like Collier Wolves, but what we did have backed up to a large national forest that was mostly safe to run in. Our pack was struggling. No, worse, we were dying off. To think our ancestors had traveled from Italy, halfway around the world, for a better life for us, and here we were barely able to make ends meet. Antonio Bernardi was a young alpha by comparison to most packs. He was a good man, though, and he cared about his wolves. His father had been stubborn and set in his ways, causing more harm than good to the pack during his reign, but Antonio wanted better for us. He'd tried reaching out to other alphas for advice and mentorship when he first took over, but was turned away by most. His father's legacy had cast us out like the black sheep of wolf shifters. Just getting accepted to this conference was a huge deal for all of us. I understood that. I just didn't understand why I had to be a part of it. A bear shifter clan whose territory wasn't that far from ours had proven to be his closest ally. There was no doubt in my mind that his father was rolling over in his grave looking down on us. Good. Antonio was trying to improve things, and I supported that. Enough to cave and join in on this camping adventure towards she-wolf empowerment. What did that even mean? She-wolves didn't have any power. Our job had always been to find a mate, have pups, and grow the pack. It was why I was determined not to do any of those things. My parents were praying I'd find a mate here in Collier, but not just any mate. They wanted me to find my one true mate. I scoffed at the idea. I didn't need a mate. Antonio wanted us to work on opening opportunities for him and the pack, and to show these stuffy wolves that we had more to offer. I had no idea what to expect, but I knew there was a lot riding on this conference. It was the first multi-pack thing the Bernardi Pack had ever been invited to attend. And before we even got settled into our camp, three of the five of us stepped in shit. Literal shit. I really hoped that wasn't a sign of how this week was going to go.
Austin, Chapter 3. The next morning I was up early and off to the diner. I picked up a few shifts a week at Kate's diner to help her out. I liked the busyness of the kitchen, and I was good with the customers, too. I didn't have a regular job there, but Kate knew she could count on me with whatever she needed. Some days I cooked, others I served. Sometimes I fixed things she needed fixing around the place, did dishes, or scrubbed the place clean. I didn't really care, I just liked to keep busy. "Morning, Peyton," I said, walking in through the back. Peyton was yet another one of Thomas's sisters. He was the baby of seven and the only son. Six older sisters to deal with meant he desperately needed the six-pack. The six-pack was comprised of me, Thomas, Wyatt, Emmett, Clay, and James. The six of us had been running together since we had learned to walk. We'd grown up doing everything together. As an only child, I needed them. They were the brothers I'd never had. Now life often got in the way, but we all made it a point to spend time together. It was important. I'd drop everything to go running when any one of them called, and I knew they always had my back, too.
Hey, Austin, are you working today?
Yep. Kate called last night and said she'd be late coming in and asked if I could help open.
Is she okay? Kate's never late coming in.
I shrugged. Didn't ask. Didn't sound like anything concerning. Peyton worried her bottom lip. Pay, I'm sure she's fine. She said she had something to do. It's no big deal. Do you want me to cover the front, or where do you need me? She walked over and checked the schedule.
We're actually good on coverage. Why don't you just work the front, play host like she would if she were here today?
I grinned and then winked at her. I can handle that. She rolled her eyes, knowing me too well. As her little brother's pesky friend, I'd been flirting with her since I discovered there was a difference between males and females. All his sisters were gorgeous, so who could fault me? I wasn't blind. I'd like to say I would never touch one of Thomas's sisters out of respect of our friendship, but it would be a damn lie. His sister Ruby and I had a lot of fun together back in the day, but it had never been anything serious. She was happily mated with a family of her own now, and while it didn't stop me from flirting with her, I wasn't a complete ass and would never mess around with a marked woman. I also knew her mate could kick my ass. Walking to the front of the diner, I turned the neon open sign on and unlocked the front door. Within minutes, the morning rush began. I smiled and greeted everyone. There were a lot of new female faces in the mix, making us far busier than usual. Around 9, as the worst of the morning crowd began to subside, the three ladies from the bar walked in.
Austin? Is this where you work? The blue-haired one asked.
There was a sour look on her face. Amongst other things, I said nonchalantly. She rolled her eyes.
Why did you leave last night? We were just starting to have a little fun.
The blonde pouted. Not happening, but thanks. Take a seat wherever you'd like. Someone will be over to take your order shortly. She glared at me and then stomped away.
Sorry about that, the busty brunette said. They're just a little excited to be here. We don't have a lot of unmated males where we come from.
She blushed, and I thought maybe she was being sincere. Though I was still leery of her. She was clearly hanging out with the other two, but she hadn't actually said or done anything inappropriate. The little bell above the door sounded again as I looked up to see Thomas and Lily walk in. Lily gave a wave and found a table while Thomas walked right over to me. The girl's eyes nearly bugged out of her head. Hey, man, are we still on for tonight at your place? Wyatt was asking me. Why the hell he didn't just call you is beyond me, he said with a chuckle. Yeah, we're still on. I purposefully kept it vague, knowing there were others listening in. Where's that cousin of yours today? I shrugged. Kate called and asked if I could cover for her. I didn't bother asking questions. Hope she's okay. Didn't sound concerning. All right, well, I'll see you tonight. If you could tell Peyton to put a rush on my mate's order, I'd appreciate it. She's been starving for days now. I snorted. You sure she's only eating for two this time? Twins do run in her family. He blanched. Don't even put that out into the universe, you asshole. I chuckled as he walked over to sit with his mate. The brunette was still standing there, looking a little starstruck. They're giving their orders, so you might want to join them. It slowed down some, but still crazier than usual here today.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
She sounded disappointed as she turned and walked away. I felt a little bad about it, but only a little. Pushing it aside, I walked back into the kitchen. Peyton, Lily and Thomas are here, and she's hungry. Peyton laughed.
When isn't she hungry these days?
Yeah, I asked him if she was maybe eating for three this time instead of only two.
I bet that went over well.
I laughed. About as you'd expect. She shook her head.
I'm on it. Go ahead and take her order just in case she's having one of those weird cravings. But I'll toss on some pancakes, too. That's been her go-to for most of this pregnancy.
You got it. Lily and Thomas had three daughters, and she was about to spit out number four. I had tossed my bet on pink again. That man was destined to be surrounded by beautiful women. If he kept getting her knocked up in hopes of having a son, then he was an idiot. Six sisters should have warned him this was coming. "Good morning, beautiful," I told Lily after walking back out to the dining room to verify her order. "Peyton's putting on some pancakes right now, but wanted me to check and see if there was anything else you need this morning." "Stop flirting with my mate, asshole," Thomas said, but his tone told me he found my flirtations funny. I grinned and shrugged. "Not my fault you gave us the prettiest pack mother in history." Thomas rolled his eyes. "What do you want, slugger?"
"I don't know. Pancakes sound great."
"Got it.
But wait, maybe some bacon to go with it?"
"Sure."
"Wait."
She grabbed my arm when I tried to walk away.
"Add some mashed potatoes with the sausage gravy, not the brown stuff."
"Is that all?" I asked this time before trying to walk away again. She looked around and then, guilty, said,
"And curly fries?"
"Bacon, mashed potatoes with sausage gravy, and curly fries. Anything else?"
"No, that sounds good. What about you, babe?"
"The usual," Thomas said. I nodded. We all knew what that meant because he ordered the same thing just about every morning. Shaking my head, I made my way back to the kitchen to personally deliver the order to Peyton.
"There's more, isn't there?"
she asked as soon as she saw me. I relayed the message, and we both laughed.
"That's like saying, 'Tell me you're pregnant,' without telling me you're pregnant. I'm surprised she didn't ask for a side of pickles to go with it."
The door swung open, and Thomas walked in. "Hey, Pei, can you add some pickles to Lily's plate?" I looked at Peyton, and we both dissolved into laughter. Checking the time, I cringed. "Kate's not in yet, but I'm supposed to work the phones today at the sheriff's office. Think you guys can handle things without me?"
"Sure, go. We've got it. Thanks for stepping in today."
"Thanks, Peyton. You're the best." I blew her a dramatic kiss as I let myself out the back door. I wasn't going back through the diner and risk being stopped by those women again. As I thought about it, I wondered why they were even in Kate's today. Didn't that conference crap start today? With Lily and Thomas coming in too, I was guessing I had my dates wrong, which meant they were going to be around even longer than I thought. With a sigh, I jumped in my truck and drove to the sheriff's office.
"Hey, Austin, James left you a list of things he needs done today,"
Ryder said as he looked up from his desk when I walked in.
"Left me? What the hell does that mean? Where'd he go?"
"An emergency at home," he said, holding up two fingers and making air quotes as he said emergency.
"He's been getting a lot of those emergency calls," Julian said with a smirk.
"Is Catherine okay?"
"I'm sure she'll be more than fine by the time he returns," Julian added under his breath.
"We're pretty sure she just calls in this emergency whenever she wants sex. It's becoming a daily emergency," Deaton explained.
"Sometimes more than once a day," Julian said.
"Stop talking about the sheriff like that," Ryder chastised them.
"Catherine's calling that in? Really? Do pregnant women ever get horny?" I asked.
Deaton laughed.
"Apparently they do."
"Damn. You're sure it's not, like, something wrong with the baby?"
"You'll see. Just wait," Ryder told me. I didn't know what the hell he meant, but I was done with their gossip. Taking a seat at my desk, I pulled out the list of things James needed done and got to work. A few hours later, as I was finishing up and ready to head over to the barn to meet up with Emmett, James came strolling in with the cheesiest grin on his face I'd ever seen.
"Shit.
They're right. Your home emergency," I said, using my fingers to make air quotes like Ryder had done, "is really just you getting laid?" James scowled as he turned to look at his deputies, who were suddenly very invested in whatever job they were working on. "Is it even safe to do that while she's pregnant? You're going to poke your kid's eye out or something." He growled at me. "Damn it, Austin. If you ruin this for me by planting thoughts like that in my mind, I will rip your throat out." I laughed all the way out the door. "See you tonight for poker at my place," I yelled over my shoulder before the door closed behind me. Hopping back in my truck, I started to drive straight to the stables. But checking the time and seeing I was early, I detoured at the last minute to the dairy barn to check in with Clay. He was the quieter one in our group of friends, and I didn't see him as often these days now that he had settled down with his mate. Though, ironically, Winnie was good for him and pushed him out of the house, encouraging him to spend time with us even when we all knew he'd be just as content to stay home with her.
Man, things had changed around here. Wyatt had found his mate.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?